Good morning. This meeting of the House Special Committee on Fisheries will come to order. The time is 10:03 on Thursday, April 24th, 2025. And before we get started, we want to say happy birthday to our own representative, Chuck Kopp, who is here. Sure. You're welcome. And so members present are our birthday boy, Representative Chuck Kopp, Representative Vance, Representative Edgeman, and myself, Chair Stutes. We have a quorum to conduct business. I will tell you all, please silence your phones. It sounds like a broken record, I know, but it's annoying when they go off. And we're asking members of the audience not to approach the table. If you need to pass a note to a member, please get a hold of my committee aide, Jane Pearson, and she will be delighted to help you out. I'd like to thank Andrew Magnuson of the House Fisheries Committee Secretary and Marnie Provost from the Juno LIO for technological and conferencing support. At today's meeting, we'll be considering the Governor's Board of Fishery appointments, Tom Carpenter and Olivia Haney Irwin. And time permitting, we will introduce House Bill 199, an act relating to the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, relating to the Alaska Commercial Fishing and Agricultural Bank, relating to certain loans made by the Alaska Commercial Fishery and Agricultural Bank, and providing for an effective date by the House Fisheries Committee by request of the Legislative Task Force Evaluating Alaska Seafood Industry. Our first appointment today for consideration is Tom Carpenter for reappointment to the Board of Fisheries. Mr. Carpenter was first appointed to the Board of Fisheries by Governor Dunleavy in 2022. Mr. Carpenter, if you could state your name for the record and tell the committee about your qualifications and why you would like to serve another term on the Board of Fisheries, we would appreciate it. Mr. Carpenter? We will take a brief at ease. Back on record. Mr. Carpenter, maybe you could check and make sure you are unmuted on your end. He looks a bit confused.
Should he call him?
Pardon?
Should he just call
him? Let me call him.
We are back on record, and I would like to acknowledge that Representative Elam has joined us. And with that, Mr. Carpenter.
Yes, thank you. Sorry for the technological problems. I can see you on video, but for some reason not connecting to the mic. So thank you for holding this hearing today. My name is Tom Carpenter. I reside in Cordova. To Chair Stooch, Speaker Edgman, and the Fisheries Committee, I appreciate you holding this hearing today. I served on the board the last 3 years, and I guess before I begin, I would like to thank the governor for the appointment 3 years ago and for the legislative confirmation that I also received. And I would also like to thank the governor again for his confidence in reappointing me and for the Fisheries Committee holding this hearing today. I was told by staff that you had access to my resume, so I won't, you know, speak directly to that. But I would like to highlight a couple things that might be more relevant in things that have happened in the near future. I've served as the vice chair for the Board of Fisheries for the last 2 years. The Board of Fisheries created a herring revitalization committee, which I chaired, and we held several meetings to look at the herring issues around the state specifically. And the last thing that I did last year was I served on the Alaska Salmon Research Task Force, which was a combination of people from around the state that looked at the most important research needs specific to salmon in Alaska. I think the reason that I would like to seek reappointment and the reason that I sought appointment in the first place was there's a lot of issues that are constantly being brought before the board that are very, very important to people on many levels around the state. And I have a fairly vast knowledge of fisheries around the state, and I've learned quite a bit that I didn't know the last 3 years. And so there's a lot of things that we've worked on, that we continue to work on, and that I would like to be a part of, because I think that bringing user groups together, either through compromise or other forms of negotiations, that big problems can be solved. And that's the main reason that I would like to be reappointed. I'll just give a couple examples of that, some things that are, you know, most relevant in the conversation we have today. A couple of the things that I worked personally very hard on the last couple years was, number one, on the Nooskak River, the action plan that was developed. I worked very hard with the user groups and the department to create language that was tolerable to put as many king salmon into the river, because on the Nooskak specifically, you know, the king salmon are not only important to the commercial fleet, but they're very important to the subsistence users and also the sport industry. And trying to come up with a plan to put those king salmon in the river when you have millions and millions of sockeye that you're trying to harvest is a very difficult task. And I hope that the language and the regulatory language that we brought forward will allow the department to be able to do that, to sustain that. The most recent thing we've done that we did in Bristol Bay, which I took a very large part in creating the language, is there was no ability in the Quijack River to harvest sockeye when the NACNEC prediction was very low. And so we created the Quijack Special Harvest Area, which will give the department the tool necessary to do that. I'll speak a little bit on the Herring Revitalization Committee, which I was the chair of. We specifically looked at Kodiak herring fisheries and the Prince William Sound herring fisheries, both which are very underutilized resources. And we held several meetings, and I think what I worked on after those meetings was to come up with some comprehensive changes to the way we look at herring regulations and herring management, and to try and provide the user groups opportunities to explore new ways of creating markets and providing opportunity to these different areas in the state, because it is a very underutilized resource. And I think that has already come to fruition in a couple places. And so I think that that was a very positive thing. I guess I'll just leave it at that. I appreciate the time that the House Fisheries Committee gave me today. And if you have any questions, I'll try and answer them the best I can. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carpenter. Does this committee have any questions for Mr. Carpenter? Seeing none. We appreciate your time. We appreciate your willingness to put your name up again for the Board of Fisheries. Sometimes it's a kind of a thankless job, but we appreciate all your time and effort that you've put forward in the past and look forward to working with you again. So seeing no further questions from the committee, I will open up public testimony for Mr. Carpenter. In the room, we have Katie Harms. Katie, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Hello, my name's Katie Harms. I'm a resident of Juneau, and I'm representing myself today.
Thank you.
And my testimony is a little unconventional. It's not necessarily in support or opposition to either candidate, but I did want to speak to after Tom Carpenter spoke.
Certainly.
So thank you. I'm a 13-year resident of Juneau, avid fly fisherman, and friend of many sport, personal use, and commercial fishermen. As Juneau is considered urban, we do not have subsistence harvest opportunity, but I understand its importance and value. As a full disclaimer, I am also the executive director of Douglas Island Pink and Chum, or DIPAC, a private nonprofit salmon hatchery program based out of Juneau, which has a 25-member board made of mostly commercial, sport, and personal use fishermen. I have been attending Board of Fisheries meetings since 2018 and spent a significant amount of time with many decades-long to lifelong Alaskan residents who either served on the board as early as 1990 or have been attending Board of Fisheries meetings for over 30 years. I am representing myself as a Southeast Alaska resident, fisherman, and friend of fishermen. My testimony today is not in support or opposition to one candidate, but to advocate for more coastal fishing towns to be represented on the Board of Fish by long-term current residents of those towns or regions. Tom Carpenter is the only current board member who resides in a community whose major economic driver is fishing, be it sport or commercial. There's plenty of representation out of the greater Anchorage area, and that comes with very little understanding of marine sport, marine commercial, marine subsistence, and marine personal use fishing, from gear types to species harvested. For historical reference, this is the first time in the 50-year history of Board of Fisheries that there has not been a Southeast Alaskan community member on the board for a full year cycle. From December of 1986 to February of 1987, there was a short three-month gap where there was no member from Southeast. Otherwise, there was at least one member from a Southeast town on the board from 1975 until the June of 2023, oftentimes two members. This loss of representation and understanding of marine fisheries was greatly felt this January and February at the Southeast meeting. Please consider re-diversification of the board by not adding any more members from the rail belt, but focus your efforts on adding members of the board who are long-term coastal residents of fishing towns. If there is a Southeast resident in the queue, please ask the governor to put their name in front of you. A few interview questions to add to your list to ensure candidates have spent a significant time getting to know coastal fisheries are: can you describe to me how a slinky pot works? Describe to me the difference between a gillnet, seine, troll, and trawl vessel. And lastly, have you ever touched a sea cucumber? Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Ms. Harms? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. We will go now online to Robert Mack. Mr. Mack, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Hi, my name is Robert Mack. I am from King Cove. I am representing myself.
And begin your testimony. Thank you.
Thank Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Robert Mack. I am from King Cove, Alaska, now living in South Anchorage with my wife and kids. I've been commercial fishing for as long as I can remember. Grew up with it in the family, and I'm here asking for the support of Tom Carpenter and his reappointee to the Board of Fish. The reason why I'm asking for his reappointment is I believe he is a fair and equitable for all user groups in the fishing community, whether it be sports, subsistence, personal use, or commercial. That's all I have for today. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you for your testimony. Do we have any questions for Mr. Mack? Seeing none, we will go to Kodiak and Sam Much. Sam, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yeah, good morning. This is Sam Much. I'm representing myself and my commercial fishing family based out of the best island in Alaska here in Kodiak.
The northernmost Hawaiian island.
I'm calling in to support Tom Carpenter's reappointment to the board. I've been going to Board of Fish meetings since I bought my first commercial fishing business in 1988. In the last 2 years, I've been to two different Board of Fish meetings where Tom was present. And at those meetings, I've seen him pay attention to small details in the fisheries. He's picked up on those small details that can make a big difference in regulation. And I've also seen him take personal time after meetings to help resolve, bring user groups together to come up with a resolution. And, he's willing to take the time to do that and understand the issue. So I'd sure like to see him get reappointed. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Sam. Do we have any questions for Sam? Seeing none, we have Bob Murphy. Mr. Murphy, if you would state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yes, thank you. My name is Bob Murphy. I'm the Executive Director of Concerned Area and Fishermen. Good morning, Representative Stutes and House Fisheries Committee. I live in Kodiak and commercial fish for salmon on the Bering Sea side of the Alaska Peninsula. I am the Executive Director for the Concerned Area and Fishermen, which represents about 105 commercial salmon fishermen who fish around King Cove, False Pass, and Port Moeller. We are in support of Tom Carpenter for reappointing to the Board of Fisheries. Mr. Carpenter is knowledgeable about subsistence, sport, commercial, and personal use fisheries throughout the state. He is approachable, experienced, and willing to listen to all the above groups and make informed science-based decisions on tough issues. Concerned area fishermen support Tom Carpenter's appointment to the Board of Fisheries and look forward to working with the current board members and future board members on the complicated issues that the Board of Fish addresses. Thank you, Madam Chair and House Fisheries Committee, for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Mr. Murphy? Seeing none, and I would like to note that Representative McCabe got here at 10:22.
I'm so sad for being tardy. My apologies.
Certainly. You're forgiven. Next, we have Gary Hollier. Mr. Hollier, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the House Fisheries Committee. My name is Gary Hollier, and I represent myself. I'm a 70-plus-year lifelong resident of Kenai, Alaska. I've dealt with the Board of Fish for 5 decades, mostly with upper Cook Inlet issues. 90-plus board members I've communicated with over the decades. I think a good board member can't just come to the party line. He's got to look at the science and try to find some middle ground to really deal with the tough issues. I'm in full support of Mr. Carpenter. He, at the Upper Cook Inlet meetings, are very contentious. One example, how he found some middle ground. One user group wanted a lower king salmon number, 13,500 to fish on. Another user group wanted 15,000. Mr. Carpenter, on his deathbed, sounded like on his deathbed with COVID, came up with a solution, 14,250. He brought the user groups together, and a management plan was set up. So we need people like Tom Carpenter on the board, and I sure hope that the He is reconfirmed. And thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Mr. Hollier? Thank you, Mr. Hollier. Next, we have, we have Dan McDonald. Mr. McDonald, if you could state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yeah, good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Dan McDonald. I've been a permit holder, commercial fisherman permit holder since, I believe, 1979 with Alaska permits, and so as I was younger, I used to be more active in fish politics and go to the Board of Fish meetings pretty regularly. Recently, not so much, but an issue came up pertaining to Kodiak food and bait herring, and I've been a limited entry permit holder and fisherman prior to that, since limited entry came in. So I went up to those meetings. We had a contentious issue in front of us, and we were seeking a compromise with the sacro sector. Without the efforts of Tom Carpenter, it's doubtful in my mind that we would have achieved a resolution that ultimately resulted in an RC that passed the Board of Fish 9-0. So I never met Tom before. We've had many excellent Board of Fish members over the years. I've been around Alaska, but I've never seen anybody any better. And what I think about him is, first of all, he's very objective. He doesn't take sides. And as he spoke a little bit ago, it's important to him to try to bring sides together, and that's one of his missions. He's an excellent mediator, so I'm in full support of his reappointment, and I think the Board of Fish is, couldn't have anybody better in his position.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Do we have any questions for Mr. McDonald? Seeing none, we will go to Kim Landine. Kim, if you would state your name and affiliation for the record, please, and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Speaker Edgman, member of the committee. For the record, my name is Kim Landine, and I'm the co-executive director of Southeast Alaska Guides Organization, or SEGO, and I'm speaking on behalf of the organization this morning. SEGO represents Southeast Alaska's 300-plus charter fishing operations, roughly half of the state's guided saltwater fishing activity. Southeast guided anglers brought an estimated $202 million in outside dollars into the Alaska economy in 2024. We've supported 1,750 jobs and have brought $11 million in local tax revenue. This revenue-intense industry benefits Southeast Alaska as a primary driver of local transportation, supply services, and accommodation businesses. And as such, we have a heavily vested interest in who sits on this Board of Fisheries. And we would like to express our support for the reappointment of Tom Carpenter to the Alaska Board. And while SEGO and Member Carpenter have often found ourselves on opposite sides of allocation decisions, we have consistently found him to be approachable, responsive, and willing to engage in honest conversation, as has been expressed by multiple other people this morning. His experience on the board has given him a solid understanding of Alaska's diverse histories, not just from a broad 1,000-foot level, but in our opinion, with increased nuance and in depth as he's continued to serve. A regional example that I'd like to offer the committee is SEGO's appreciation about Member Carpenter's growing understanding of the complexity of Southeast Alaska king salmon fisheries. As was mentioned earlier, we don't currently have a representation from Southeast on this Board of Fisheries, and so for members to be able to dig into the nuances of our complex management system, specifically underneath the Pacific Salmon Treaty, and some of the requirements and the restrictions placed on the state from that. Member Carpenter has done a fantastic job at digging in and understanding those nuances and how they play with each other and with the state. And we appreciate that. His familiarity with the board's process and his openness to different perspectives has made him a steady and a valuable presence on the board. And while we don't always agree, we absolutely appreciate the fact that he listens and that he can get into the details and explain different perspectives, helping us as an industry and as an organization understand some of those nuances and be able to work with other user groups better. And so we really want to just support him and his reappointment, as well as offer just a moment of gratitude for the work that's already gone in. Sitting on that board is a thankless position, and the fact that he's willing to go at it for another 3 years shows a lot about his commitment to the state and to the fisheries. So thank you for this.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Ms. Landine? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. I see no others online and no others in the room, so I will close public testimony for Mr. Carpenter. And with that, do we have any questions from this committee or comments? Representative Edgman.
Madam Chair, I'm ready to essentially make the motion, I think it's called, if you're ready.
I would be receptive here to your motion.
Thank you. The House Special Committee on Fisheries has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointee, Thomas Carpenter, to the Alaska Board of Fisheries, and recommends that his name be forwarded to a joint session for confirmation.
Hearing no objections, and I would like to mention, having completed our discussion, I would like to remind members that a signature on the report does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of Mr. Carpenter during any further sessions. And with that, we will take a brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. We will come back on record. Today, our second order of business is the confirmation of Olivia Hanayi Irwin to the Alaska Board of Fisheries, and Ms. Irwin is joining us online. I would like to start off by thanking Olivia for attempting to be here in person. She was down here in Juneau for her originally scheduled confirmation hearing, but that unfortunately coincided with the budget on the floor, and we all know how that goes. So we had to cancel her fisheries appointment interview at that time. So I want to thank her for taking the time and expense to travel to Juneau and for making the effort to meet with members while she was here. I'd also like to say that it's exciting to see young folks becoming involved in the management of our fisheries and as well as the board process. So with that, Olivia, Miss Irwin, please place yourself on the record and tell the committee your qualifications and why you would like to serve as a board member of the Board of Fisheries.
Good morning. Can you all hear me okay?
We can hear you just great.
Fabulous. Well, Dan Zoon, Olivia Sauza, Dehun Danakahigle, Hanahi Sisni, Ina'a, Gretchen Sumter Irwin, Sauza, Ita'a, James Timothy Irwin, Hagaila A, Tagatile Hutan Eslan. Good morning, members of the committee, Chair Stutes and Speaker Edgman. My name is Olivia Hanahi Irwin. I am the daughter of the late James Timothy Irwin and Gretchen Sumter Irwin. I'm from Nenana, Alaska, and I come from a long line of fishermen. My family comes from the Tanana River, along with the Koyukuk River and the Kobuk River Valley. I spent the majority of my time growing up between my mother's home state of Missouri and Alaska. I would come home to Alaska in the summers and participate in fish camp. What I thought was fish camp at the time really was culture camp. That's where I first learned to cut and prepare fish, how to harvest properly, and really gained my relationship with salmon at that point. I got my bachelor's degree from Pomona College in Claremont, California, and then I came up back to Alaska after college and began working for natural resources and private nonprofits and tribes. I now serve as the policy coordinator for the Yukon River Drainage Fisheries Association, and I am extremely honored to be here today. Thank you for the acknowledgement of my time in Juneau. I really appreciate the representatives that I was able to meet with. I appreciate the staff that I was able to meet with, and while my hearings weren't able to be done in person at that time, it was a well worth trip. I come from the interior. The Tanana River, a drainage of the Yukon. And the reason why I'm putting my name forward for the Board of Fish is because I don't want to see what's happening to our salmon on the Yukon happen throughout the state. We're unfortunately seeing trends and declines of our salmon populations throughout the state. And knowing the hardships of the communities that I come from, the lack of commercial fishing opportunities now provided, I want the ability to make decisions on behalf of our state for the good of the users of the entire state. I have created a statewide network of fishermen and policy specialists, and while coming from the interior, I have worked very hard and diligently and will continue to work hard to understand the needs of the users throughout the state. I want to promote and continue promoting the public process of the state and engagement of stakeholders. I got into this process by attending a Board of Fish meeting and very quickly engaging in regulatory and policy creation. I felt it was an accessible process. I felt that as a member of a public and as a user, I had the opportunity to make recommendations to management, and it made me feel like I was part of the process. And I want to continue to promote that in this role. And finally, I want to just ensure our runs for future generations. I want to ensure the sustainability of our salmon populations for all users throughout Alaska in perpetuity. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Ms. Irwin? Representative Vance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Irwin, for being available today. On your resume, you say that you want to decriminalize subsistence practices. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yes, through the chair, thank you, Representative Vance, for the question. So, unfortunately, there exists within our state oftentimes an inability for folks to be able to feed themselves, whether that's based on the urban versus whether that's based on folks' living situation, whether they're in an urban space. But oftentimes it is because our stocks are in such decline and low that folks are unable to feed themselves. And coming from an area where many communities are off of the road system, they have to barge in food, fly in food. The needs of our rural communities require the ability for them to feed themselves through subsistence. And unfortunately, sometimes with the decline of the stocks, we're unable to meet those needs. And so with that, one of my priorities would be to ensure that the subsistence priority is upheld while keeping in mind all other users and the allocated criteria.
Follow-up, Representative Vance?
No, not at this time.
Thank you. Ms. Irwin, I have a question. I recently listened to a podcast of which you were a participant of, the Northern Hunter podcast, and I have a few questions about the way commercial fishing and salmon hatcheries were characterized on this podcast. The sustainability and the ethics of commercial fishing were brought into question during the podcast, and I was really quite surprised to hear it characterized that commercial fishing is akin to the fur trade or the extinction of the bison in the lower 48. That inference was that commercial fishing was about to make a quick buck at the expense of the resource. And let me be the first to tell you that's not how my constituents view commercial fishing. In my district, it's commercial fishing is generational. It sustains our communities and our coastal way of life as well as our local families. So in your own words, could you please characterize how you view commercial fishing in and its place in Alaska's fisheries, as well as its importance to coastal communities and their families.
Absolutely. I would love to address that. Thank you very much for the question. So I acknowledge the critical nature and the historic importance of the economic and cultural impact to our fishing communities throughout the state. They are one of our user groups, and it is not to be taken lightly to consider restrictions on any user group without following the allocative criteria, as well as having science and staff reports to back that up. Commercial fishing supports the economy and the food security of Alaska, and I want to ensure that Alaskans are able to continue to be fed by our resource. As a public trust resource, we all own this resource. When considering any type of allocation, two of the seven are related to the economy. One is to the state economy, and one is to the local and regional economy. And I would ensure that when in deliberations and when in consideration of a proposal before me, that I would recognize those two allocative criteria, as well as the historic cultural importance of commercial fishing to Alaskans.
Thank you for that. And I have, are there other questions? Oh, Representative Himshute.
Thank you. I have, I think, two questions. Ms. Irwin, could you talk a little bit more about the role of hatcheries in Alaska?
Yes, thank you, Representative Himshute. As I understand it, the role of hatcheries are to help rebuild rebuild the stocks. We have many of our salmon populations have been decimated, and so the purpose of hatcheries in the state of Alaska is to be able to provide increased opportunity for users.
Follow up, Representative Himshute.
Sure, thanks. Yes, it might be helpful to learn a little bit about pink salmon cycles as well and the role of hatcheries in that fishery. But my other question really has to do, it's kind of grounded in my region, which is a heavy commercial fishing region. You talk about sustainability, which I think we all value. My question is, what actions are you thinking that you will take to support and ensure sustainability?
Thank you for that follow-up question. Until I'm sitting before the board with a proposal in front of me, I'm unsure of what that can look like. I want to hear from the users and the stakeholders and hear what they on the ground are seeing, what technologies are advancing that they can utilize to encourage the take of runs that are in high abundance during times of low abundance. And so at this time, there's not a single answer that I could give to solve the issue of ensuring our runs are sustainable. But when speaking about the sustainability of our runs, I really want to ensure that it's clear that understanding sustainability doesn't mean that we have to cut off one user group or another completely. It simply means that we're analyzing the size of the run, our take, and whether or not it's going to be sustainable, and we're going to be able to ensure runs of high abundance for future generations.
Follow-up, Representative Himshute.
Thank you. Yes, I appreciate the perspective you're bringing to the board. I'm going to follow up on some previous public testimony and ask you about trollers, trawlers, seiners, and slinky pots. and have you ever touched a sea cucumber? We were urged to ask these questions. So,
thank you. Yes, I did hear those. I appreciate the immediate use of public comment in this hearing. Thank you for that. I do not use slinky pots. That's something that I will have to learn about. I have never touched a sea cucumber. These gear types are not gear types that I have utilized, but as I understand them, beach seines are nets that you swoop in a circle and in order to catch fish closer to the beach. The gill nets are further out. It's a long line of net that is set where the heads of the fish get caught. And then the trollers are fishing vessels that hang more than one fishing line. Those are my basic understandings. I recognize I have a lot to learn in other regions and statewide gear types, but I've created a large network and support of folks who I think are going to aid in me better understanding those, and listening to the stakeholders and the users of those gear types will make me better equipped to make decisions about those gear types at the Board of Fish.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Irwin, to follow up on that, in what regions of the state have you participated or engaged in fishery issues?
I have engaged in fishery issues at the statewide level in the interior region. I have participated in non-state management conversations and meetings, and I... as a participant, I have participated in fisheries in the Kenai.
Thank you. Other questions?
I have one more.
Let me go with Representative
sure.
McCabe.
Thank you, Ms. Irwin. So, through the chair, I'm just wondering, probably not a softball question, but in your opinion, what's more important? The resource or the stakeholders? I mean, at some point we have to focus on getting fish upriver, and you live upriver where the fish are hatched and born and then they go out. So as a Board of Fish member, what are you going to focus on? Are we going to focus on stakeholders, of which there are hundreds of different styles of fisheries, or are we going to focus on managing the resource? What would you think?
Thank you, Mr. McCabe, for your question. And it's difficult for me to answer that question because the stakeholders are not unimportant. But the most important and my first priority will be to the resource because that aids in our ability to uphold our responsibilities to provide opportunities for Alaskans. If we don't put the fish first and we limit are the population of our runs to a degree where we're unable to harvest from them or provide opportunities, I don't believe we're doing our job either. So my priority is to conserve and develop the fishery, the resource for Alaskans, but if presented before me a decision of conservation of the resource in order for long-term sustainability versus an immediate opportunity, I'm going to be putting the resource first.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Himshute.
I forgot.
So I have a question. Do you support federal management of our salmon over state management?
No, ma'am. As a Board of Fish member, I would represent the state's interests and the state's perspective on management. The checkerboard model doesn't work. And we need to come to a place where the management is a lot more clear for our users.
Thank you. If you are appointed to the Board of Fish, Ms. Irwin, would you consider yourself filling a subsistence seat?
I would consider myself filling a subsistent sports seat, ma'am.
Thank you. Representative Elam.
Thank you. Thank you for your time here talking with us about all this. I guess my question is I'm kind of looking through your list of support. It's quite the extensive list and a very diverse group of people. And I represent a very diverse fisheries group as well, and I'm just wondering how do you navigate sometimes the waters of the varying groups and what kind of how would you do that?
Well, thank you for the question, Mr. Elam. The most basic answer that I can give and provide that's true to myself is listening to the stakeholders and not assuming that I know, have any more information than they do. I recognize my limited knowledge of certain areas of fishing, of certain gear types. And when we have user groups that are not in agreement or there are multiple interests at stake, it is most important that we listen to the stakeholders and those folks who are actually on the ground using these methods of fishing. And then when it comes down to a decision, the board must refer to the regulations and statutes following the allocative criteria. And if we, my belief is that if we continue to engage with the stakeholders in a good way, that we can come to compromises and we can ensure that even user groups who maybe are didn't benefit from a regulation that was put forward, that there can be an understanding that it was best for the users of Alaska and the resource itself.
Thank you. I have one last question, and then I'll go to you, Representative Himshut. Alaska's hatchery programs have been argued by some to be a direct cause of the decline of interior and western Alaska salmon stocks. However, the science surrounding these arguments does not support those claims. What are your feelings on the hatchery programs themselves, given that ADF&G finds the hatcheries to be sustainable and of no direct concern to these stocks?
Thank you for the question. Well, first of all, I believe that there's cumulative impacts that have created a unhealthy, unsustainable population on the Yukon River. So I don't believe that there's any one issue that we can point a finger at and say this is the cause for the salmon decline in the Yukon River. So I believe it's the cumulative impacts. And the Board of Fish has a very specific role in terms of hatcheries. It's the amount of egg production as well as the permitting. And so most of those decisions I will leave up to the legislature and the private nonprofit hatchery programs and to ensure that that our hatcheries are running as they should in the state of Alaska.
Thank you. Representative Himshut.
Thank you, Chair Stutz. Through the chair, I just was very impressed on your resume that you jumped right in to a Board of Fish cycle. I'm not sure where I read it, but it just reminded me of a partnership that I wanted to just bring up and put on the record, and that's Sitka Conservation Society working with University of Alaska and maybe with Sea Grant, and they have somebody who takes students and prepares them for providing testimony. So I was curious if you've had anyone, and it was recently covered in, I can't remember which publication, but it's preparing kids to be able to actively participate in their AC process or Regional Advisory Council or Board of Fish process. It's a two-week class that kids can take. So did anyone help you prepare to testify with Board of Fish or even more to serve on the Board of Fish? Like, have you had the advantage of a class like that?
Yes, thank you very much, Representative Himshut, for that question. I am only here because of the support and the education that's been provided for me through mentors. That's the only reason I'm here and who I am. UAF was part of that. The University of Alaska Fairbanks had partnered with Tananaut Chiefs Conference to provide entry-level courses for the Board of Fish process, the Board of Game process, and I did attend multiple classes of those. They were short one credit classes, like 3 days. They were not full semester long courses by any means. But it was a very good introduction to how the Board of Fish process runs, how the state management process runs, how to utilize the website, how to utilize RCs, and how to write and prepare proposals and testimony. And so that was one of my first. I attended that course both prior to attending my Board of Fish meeting, where I was able to help change regulation.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Irwin, when did you move back to Alaska?
I moved back to Alaska in 2020.
Thank you. Representative McCabe.
Did you forget my name?
Never. Never. It's always on the tip of my tongue.
Thanks, Ms. Irwin. So I think it's admirable that you're taking classes like that. For instance, I took a speech class from Professor Gary Stevens back when I was young, and he taught me how to speak, probably to his chagrin right now. So it's, you know, we take resume classes for learning how to write resumes as pilots. I think that's an important factor in this. So I appreciate that. But let's get back to the hatcheries a little bit. Let's talk about the difference between, say, last year there was a bill, HB 169, we called it the moist hatchery, where we kind of got back to the native, if you will, early Alaskan way of sort of doing hatcheries in a five-gallon bucket versus the big hatchery right now that we're considering. And I'm wondering what you would favor. I know that I had a meeting with the Kinnick tribe a couple days ago, actually, and they were talking about that moist hatchery in support of that bill. So would you favor something like that, going back to sort of the traditional way of providing hatcheries and providing fish in the rivers?
Thank you for the question, Mr. Member McCabe. I will leave legislative bills up to the legislature. As a Board of Fish member, my role will be allocative, and so I would follow any statutes that were and laws that were passed by the legislature. And to answer your question about my preference, I have not had access to stakeholder engagement or information on those issues, and so I don't have an answer for you at this time.
Fair enough.
Thank you. Are there other questions from this committee? Seeing none, we will open public testimony. And with that, we have Ms. Harms. Did you wish? No. Okay. We have online Gary Hollier, again, with testifying on Ms. Irwin. Mr. Hollier.
Yeah, thank you again, Madam Chairman, members of the Fisheries Committee. My name is Gary Hollier. I am a 54-year-old Eastside set netter in Upper Cook Inlet. I'd like to talk about Ms. Irwin's appointment here. Upper Cook Inlet in the last 6 out of 7 years has been declared a disaster, federal disaster. And we're kind of in dire straits. It kind of alarms me that Ms. Irwin says that she would represent subsistence and sportsmen on the board. I think a good board member, as I talked about, has to come in with an open mind and listen to all the science and the facts. In 2024, there were two set test beach seines in Upper Cook Inlet that cut 20,000 sockeye on the east side into beaches and killed no kings. It's a new and upcoming fishery. I would hope that Ms. Irwin would be in favor of some type of a new fishery that might save this Upper East Side. That's a 120-year-old fishery that's on our lips. So I will be in favor of Ms. Irwin, but I would hope that she would be open-minded and look at the science and the data, because as a commercial fisherman and a lifelong resident of Kenai, we need members at the Board of Fish that don't just vote party lines, but look at the science and active vote accordingly. And thank you very much. So I am in support of Ms. Irwin. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? Seeing none, we will go to Craig Tithagluk. If you could state your name and affiliation.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. For the record, my name is Craig Tithagluk, and I'm speaking on behalf of Native Peoples Action. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the House Fisheries Committee, for listening to our public testimony. I'd like to thank you for holding this hearing and for all the committee's hard work. Also, a big thank you to Governor Dunleavy for nominating Olivia Irwin and Mr. Carpenter as new and returning members to serve on the Board of Fish. Again, my name is Craig Tithagluk. I'm Yupik, and my Yupik name is Gavnyak. And my family and I have been a part of the Bristol Bay region, utilizing and living in relations to our fish and game for a very long time. I am currently the Fisheries Policy Director for Native Peoples Action. I'm a lifelong subsistence user, a lifelong sports fisherman, and a Bristol Bay limited entry permit owner, taking over my mother's drift fishing operation since the early 2000s. I'm calling in today to voice Native Peoples Action's strong support for Olivia Irwin's nomination as a new member to serve on the Alaska Board of Fisheries. And Native Peoples Action is a statewide nonpartisan organization dedicated to protecting and strengthening Alaska Native peoples and our ways of life. We are committed to addressing and restoring our people's inherent rights to hunt, fish, harvest, gather, trap, and share, and have ceremony as well as manage and stewarding our homelands for abundance. Since NPA has worked with Olivia, she has consistently demonstrated exceptional dedication and deep commitment to the many communities in her service as co-chair of NEFNG for Nemana and Minto, a policy coordinator for Yukon River Drainage Fishermen Association, and a recent nomination to the Eastern Interior Regional Advisory Council. Olivia has shown her leadership, her commitment, and the ability to work with commercial fishermen, subsistence users, and personal users, and all other stakeholder groups in a way that is inviting, constructive, and solution-oriented. Native Peoples Action believes that Hanahi's appointment to the Board of Fisheries will bring a needed perspective and innovative solutions as the Board of Fish member. Olivia's ability to collaborate and solve problems will be invaluable in ensuring Alaska fisheries' long-term health and prosperity. Thank you for considering our recommendations. We are confident that Olivia Hanahi Irwin will be a tremendous asset to the Board of Fisheries and the future of Alaska fisheries. Kalihana, Madam Chair, for listening to our public comment.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? Seeing none, we will go to Gracie Kirky. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please, and begin your testimony.
My name's Grace Kirky. I reside in Anchorage, testifying on my behalf. I'm calling in support of Olivia Irwin. Olivia is fair and honest. She treats all user groups with respect, and more so than anyone I've ever seen in my life, she does her research. She takes time that she's extremely generous with to make informed decisions. She values public testimony. She truly listens. She does not shy away from answering or asking hard questions. It would be a loss for Alaskans to not have Olivia on the Board of Fish. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Ms. Kirky? Seeing none, we will go to Matthew Lordstofer. I hope I have your name right.
Yeah, hi. My name is Matthew Lorstorfer, and I am representing myself. I'm Anchorage-based. I was a Bristol Bay Sentinel permit holder for many years, and I'm a personal use fisher. I want to voice my support for Olivia to be appointed to the Board of Fish. I've been in meetings with her. I've seen how well she facilitates her ability to listen to all sides and her critical thinking skills. She's just amazing. And I think it'd be great to see a young Native leader with fresh perspectives represented on the board. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Seeing no questions, we will go to Donald Stiles. Mr. Stiles, please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Hi, I'm Donald Stiles. I'm from Nome. I grew up in Unalakleet as a subsistence and commercial fisherman, fished on the Yukon River commercially, and now fish Northtown Red King Crab. I'm in support of Olivia's appointment to the Alaska Board of Fish, and I've had interactions with her and believe that she will be the best appointment that is out there as currently. She'll be a great asset. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. I see no questions from the committee, so we will move on to Joel Jackson. If you would state your name and affiliation, begin your testimony, please. Mr. Jackson?
Hello?
There you go. If you'd state your name.
Okay,
and
my name is Joel Jackson. I'm the president of the Organized Village of Cake in Southeast Alaska. I wanted to voice my support for Olivia Irving. So I've had been to meetings with her where she testified, and, you know, she's very well informed. And, you know, I think she will make a great Board of Fish member.
Thank you. Seeing no questions from the committee, we will move on to Rochelle Adams. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, begin your testimony, please.
Yes, Van Gwynsey. My name is Rochelle Adams. I'm from Beaver in Fort Yukon in the interior of Alaska. I'm a subsistence user. My people have been fishing along the Yukon River since time immemorial. I represent myself, and I'm calling in to support Olivia Henahe Irwin for her seat on the Board of Fish. I strongly support her, and I'm uplifting the voices of many from my region, and echoing their sentiments when I say that Olivia is an excellent candidate. And she's very knowledgeable about the Alaskan fisheries policies, as well as cultural knowledge. She's very approachable, and she will be able to work with all user groups. Olivia brings a lot of passion, drive, and love for the fisheries. And I've spent a lot of time with her in many fisheries management spaces. Doing public testimony many times, talking about our fisheries. But the most important thing that I've spent with her is at culture camp along the river, and seeing her knowledge of our traditions and our ways of life and how she works with such care. I really think that we need this strong representation from the interior of Alaska and from the Yukon River drainage, and she just is such an amazing candidate. And thank you so much for your time. Masicho anabasi.
Thank you. Seeing no questions from this committee, excuse me. We will next go to Shannon Martin. If you could state your name and affiliation for the record, please, and begin your testimony.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the House Fisheries Committee. My name is Shannon Martin, and I'm calling from the city of Soldotna on the Kenai Peninsula. I'm the Executive Director of the Kenai River Sport Fishing Association, and I'll be speaking on their behalf. Kenai River Sport Fishing Association is a 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to ensuring the sustainability of the Kenai River and Alaska's fish resources. Established in 1984, CRIS is the leading sport fishing advocacy group in Alaska, supporting sport fishing opportunities and access. CRISA would like to express our support for Ms. Olivia Irwin to the Alaska Board of Fisheries. Ms. Irwin is well-spoken and familiar to our organization through her time serving on the Minto Nanana Fishing Game Advisory Committee. In that role, she's gained valuable experience working closely with members of the Board of Fish, stakeholders from all user groups, and staff with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. We consider firsthand knowledge and familiarity with the Board of Fish process essential for anyone seeking a position on the board. Through several interviews with CRISA, we found Ms. Irwin to be deeply committed to the sustainable management of Alaska's fisheries and aligned with CRISA's core priority, more fish in our rivers. We respectfully urge you to confirm the appointment of Ms. Irwin to the Alaska Board of Fish. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no questions from this committee, we will go to Eva Burke. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Hello, this is Eva Burke, speaking on behalf of the Yukon River and the Tribal Fish Commission. We represent 44 member tribes along the Yukon River in working towards stewardship of salmon for generations to come. And we unanimously support Olivia Henahe Irwin's appointment to the Board of Fish and urge you to confirm that appointment. We have a diverse group of users on the Yukon River, sport fish, commercial, subsistence, personal, and Olivia is a great communicator. She's very approachable. I think one of the most important things is the process, the Board of Fisheries process, and Olivia's been engaging in that process, chairing the Minto Nunana AC, which I also sit on. She is a phenomenal resource when it comes to policy and regulation. And the most important thing is she will be helping the public and stakeholders navigate the Board of Fish process. It can be a more, I'd say, pleasant experience if Olivia is on the Board of Fish, having somebody that's able to communicate between different users and, I would say, be very neutral, listening to all sides, bringing in all the information. Olivia can definitely do that. And with that, I just want to thank you for your time today. And I'm grateful that Olivia has been appointed and hope to see her confirmed on a bus seat.
Thank you. Seeing no questions from this committee, we'll go to Phil Doherty. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yes, good morning, Madam Chair. Thank you for the time and committee members. My name is Phil Doherty, calling from Ketchikan, Alaska. I'm currently the executive director of the Southeast Alaska Sanders Association. Prior to that, I was area management biologist for commercial fisheries for the better part of 30 years in Ketchikan, and 15 years executive director of the Southeast Dive Association. As a SEA's executive director, we're a 501c also, and we're a little bit because of that and the rules and regulations under a 501c. I'm not really calling today to advocate for Ms. Erlin or Ms. Carpenter, but I am want to at least plant a seed with the committee and anyone else out there who is listening, that for the first time since I've been involved in these fisheries, been a part of 50 years, we don't have representation from Southeast Alaska on the Board of Fish. Southeast Alaska in Alaska is probably the most robust, diverse fisheries in the state. We go anywhere from all the salmon fisheries, hatchery programs, sport, charter boat fisheries, groundfish, shellfish, herring, you name it, we have it here in Southeast Alaska. It's a very large and complex fisheries. So I'm hoping that in the future here, the state can advocate, this committee can advocate that someone from Southeast Alaska's name gets put forward and we finally have another representative on the Board of Fisheries from Southeast Alaska. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you. Seeing no questions from this committee, we will go to Kelsey Ivanoff. Kelsey, if you would state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Hi, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you just great.
Hi, this is Kelsey Ivanoff. I am calling from Unalakleet and wanted to call in support of Olivia's appointment to the Board of Fisheries. I currently work for, I'm testifying on behalf of myself, but I currently work for Native Peoples Action, and I sit on the Southern Norton Sound Advisory Committee, and I also sit on the Seward Peninsula RAC. And my interactions and experience with Olivia, she's been a great representative of her people. She, you know, finds the right words to represent us, and I think her heart is where it needs to be and to be able to fight for us and work for fairness for all. And I will keep it short at that and wanted to thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of her.
Thank you for your testimony. Seeing no questions, we will go to Al Barrett.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, so my name is Al Barrett. I reside in Fairbanks. For disclosure, I am a member of the Board of Game. I'm not representing the Board of Game or the views of the Board of Game. These thoughts and observations are mine and mine only as a resident Alaska and a user of wild fish. I'm writing in support of Olivia Erwin for the Board of Fisheries. I first met Olivia several years ago. She was part of a wood bison reintroduction team for Mento Flat State Refuge.
there was some contention with this plan. She was instrumental in developing and compromise to move the project forward. Then I attended meetings with her on how the historical low returns of Yukon Chinook salmon and chum salmon could be revised. Lastly, I attended several of the Mento Nenana AC advisory committees, and she was the co-chair, and she ran her meetings efficiently and had consideration of everybody in attendance. I mention all this because I saw how Olivia conducted herself. She was well-versed in the subject matter at hand. She completely understood the process. She brings fresh and new concepts and thoughts to an issue. I believe Olivia's age will benefit the Board of Fisheries. Her generation will be the most affected by decisions of the current Board of Fisheries. She has the knowledge and know-how and knows how the process works. She is able to study, research issues, and listens to the pros and cons of issues. It is refreshing to see how she incorporates all that information and is able to communicate possible solutions for her generation's perspective, or from her generation's perspective. Please support the confirmation of Olivia Irwin to the Board of Fisheries. Her youthfulness, knowledge of the process, and communication skills will bring a new perspective to the board. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Seeing no questions from this committee, we will conclude our public testimony with Virgil Uppenauer. Mr. Uppenauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Virgil Uppenauer. I live in North Pole, Alaska. I served 3 terms on the Board of Fish. I'm the longest serving member of the Pacific Salmon Commission, and I still belong to the Fairbanks Fish and Game Advisory Committee. In your packet, you should have a letter from the Fairbanks Fish and Game Advisory Committee supporting Ms. Irwin. I've known some of Ms. Irwin's family for more than 50 years. They live in Nenana, and I went through carpenter apprenticeship with her Uncle Jack. But anyway, I own a fish and meat processing facility in Fairbanks, and so I used to buy fish in Nenana, but I don't know how many of you know this, but the people that live in Nenana or the whole upper Yukon River have not been able to even subsistence fish for salmon of any kind for 5 full years. I just returned from Dawson, where we had an 8-day, well, it was a 6-day meeting, but a day traveling back and forth for the Alaska delegation for the treaty, which is the Yukon River panel. And it's so grim, it's just unbelievable. The outlook is just as bad. We're down on summer trout on the longest monitored systems in the state, which is the Chena and the Salcha, to 4% for the Salcha of the long-term average of fish, chum salmon counted, and 9% on the Chena. And on Chinook salmon, we're down to about 20% of the long-term average, and that's about all we've been getting across the border into Canada. We strongly support Olivia. I just said those other things so that you would understand how grim the situation is on the Yukon River. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Mr. Uppenauer? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. And seeing no others in the room and no others online, I will close public testimony. And with that, do we have any comments from this committee? Seeing none, Speaker Edgman, I would entertain a motion.
Madam Chairperson, the House Special Committee on Fisheries has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointee to the Alaska Board of Fisheries, Olivia Irwin, and recommends that her name be forwarded to a joint session for confirmation.
Hearing no objection, and I again would like to remind members that a signature on the report does not reflect the intent of any member to vote for or against Ms. Irwin in any further such sessions. So with that, we'll take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. With that, we are back on record, and our last order of business today is House Bill 199, an act relating to the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development relating to the Alaska Commercial Fishing and Agriculture Bank, relating to certain loans made by Alaska Commercial Fishing and Agriculture Bank and providing for an effective date by the House Fisheries Committee at the request of the Legislative Task Force Evaluating the Seafood Industry. That is a mouthful. Here to present the bill today is Kyle Newman, Fisheries Committee staff. Mr. Newman, please come to the table, put yourself on the record, and begin your testimony. I should say begin your presentation. Before you start, I'll also make note that there are online for questions the Division of Banking and Securities Director Bob Schmidt online. Did I see him? Online Division of Banking and Securities Chief Examinator Examinations Tracy Reno and Manager Dawn. I don't see her. Anyway, up to you, Mr. Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, Kyle Newman, staff to the House Fisheries Committee. Before you today is House Bill 199, sponsored by this committee by request of the Joint Legislative Task Force Evaluating Alaska's Seafood Industry. This legislation would, pending appropriation, provide a one-time temporary investment of approximately $3.7 million of state money to bolster Alaska's Commercial Fishing and Agriculture Bank, or CFAB. This would allow CFAB to refinance existing loans and potentially issue new loans at a reduced interest rate of 5.25%, the same rate currently offered by the Commercial Fishing Revolving Loan Fund. This is a companion bill to Senate Bill 156. CFAB was established by the legislature in 1978 through AS 44.81. Through this statute, the state granted CFAB unique authority to lien limited entry permits in addition to providing loans specifically for commercial fishing operations. CFAB currently has over 700 members representing 80 fishing communities and provides critical financing for fishermen across the state, especially in difficult financial times such as these. It is not news to members of this committee that Alaska's commercial fishing industry is facing a financial crisis. To address this, the legislature passed HB 273 in 2024, which made changes to the state's Commercial Fishing Revolving Loan Fund, including temporarily setting interest rates at a fixed 5.25%. So far, this legislation has been highly successful. However, it has come with one large unintended consequence. Unable to match the much lower interest rates, CFAB is losing significant new loan volume as borrowers preferentially choose the better terms offered by the revolving loan fund. This problem is exacerbated by recent low ex-vessel returns and high overhead costs faced by many fishing operations in Alaska, which make it harder for borrowers to make payments on their existing loans. CFAB has already expended many tools at their disposal to avoid defaults, including revised payment plans and loan restructuring for many of their borrowers. Recognizing that it is in the interest of the state and our seafood industry to keep CFAB operational, the task force recommended that the state enact policy to temporarily lower CFAB's interest rates. The task force report suggests doing this by tying CFAB to the revolving loan fund. However, subsequent analyses indicate that this approach could imperil the revolving loan fund. HB 199 addresses the problems described above with a one-time temporary investment in CFAB of approximately $3.7 million in state funds from a separate and now defunct Capstone Avionics Revolving Loan Fund. The investment would be through the purchase of Class C non-voting shares in CFAB, the same vehicle through which the state provided $32 million in startup capital to the bank in 1979. As prescribed, CFAB repurchased all of these shares from the state by 1998. The investment provided to CFAB through HB 199 will only be used to refinance or reissue new low-interest rate loans until the revolving loan fund's rates return to normal in 2 years. At that time, CFAB will return any unlent state funds, and CFAB will again repay the state in full within 20 years by purchasing back the stock held by the state. With that, Madam Chair, I'm happy to answer any questions regarding this bill. I'm also happy to go through the sectional analysis if any member of the committee would like me to do so. We also have invited testimony from Sharon Lechner, President of CFAB.
Thank you. What is the pleasure of the committee on the sectional? Would you like to hear the sectional? You're off the hook, Mr. Okay. Newman. How about questions for Mr. Newman on this legislation? Representative Kopp.
Mr. Newman, is the total appropriation we're looking at coming from the capstone fund over to this fund, and that's $3.7 million, according to the information we have in our committee packets. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Kopp, that is correct. Currently, there is roughly $3.7 million sitting in this defunct Capstone Avionics revolving loan fund, which sunsetted, I believe, in 2021. That seems to have sort of been forgotten about. It was supposed to... It was not written in statute that it would, that any unused funds would go back into the general fund or anything like that. And it was supposed to be reappropriated at some point, and that reappropriation was vetoed, and so it ended up sitting in this fund unused. The last time I checked, there's about $3.7 million in that fund.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
Go ahead. Follow up.
My comment is that this is a small amount of money. Wish we could do more for a significant industry need, but it will help the few fishermen they can get it to that are in dire straits.
Thank you. Representative Vance, did you have a question?
I do. Thank you. So why is there not a fiscal note showing the transfer of this $3.7 million from that fund to the Ag Bank? We only have one fiscal note, and I'm curious of why we don't have a fiscal note, and also can you just give a brief history of the fund, the Alaska Capstone Avionics Revolving Loan Fund, and why what happened with that?
Yes, through the chair, Representative Vance. To your first question, there is a fiscal note. It is a zero fiscal note because this bill is pending appropriations. And it doesn't specifically say that we are, it's a little, funnily worded in a way, but it doesn't specifically say that if you passed HB 199, it doesn't move that money. It says that subject to appropriation, the department shall purchase shares issued by CFAB using an amount of money equal to the amount of money that is sitting in that fund at the moment.
Follow up?
Representative Vance.
Thank you. So does that mean that we would have to include this transfer of $3.7 million in the operating budget or the capital budget?
Through the chair, Representative Vance, I'm not sure.
Representative Vance, it would be subject to appropriation in that amount. Yes, this bill does not transfer the funds.
Right, so the only other way that the money would be transferred would be through an appropriation bill.
Right, through appropriating the money from the capstone over to this.
But where does that exist right now?
Representative Kopp?
Yeah, I'm not sure this needs a bill. I think this bill gives permission for this to happen administratively. In other words, this money is already set, unexpended, unappropriated, in a fund with no plans for it, but they couldn't move it into this unless we gave them permission to do it. That's what this bill does. And the administration, we could get, you know, somebody from revenue on the phone, but I believe this bill simply gives permission for that to happen.
This bill does not transfer the funds, Representative Vance.
Correct.
Obviously, that's not quite what you're looking for.
I would prefer legal answering the way this is worded on the last page, line 8, subject to appropriation. We are the appropriators, not the executive branch. And it would, way that is worded, need an appropriation bill. As far as my understanding goes, is that we would need an appropriation mechanism to transfer, and I would like to see that. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm in support of this bill. I'm just trying to understand the mechanics of how we need to make this happen, and I don't want us to have an oversight on this important measure. I find that if we're going to be making a change for a fund, that we should be seeing it's going to come from here and it's going to go to here. Like, where's the paper trail on that?
Representative Vance, if this legislation is approved, then it needs to be in the operating budget, is where it needs to be.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? Representative McCabe.
Sorry, but I don't disagree, Madam Chair, with Representative Vance. It should have a fiscal note. We need to be able to know when we're discussing a bill like this where the money's coming from, where it's going to. That's the purpose of a fiscal note. So that should be in this fiscal note, even with the description, as you said, this will be in the operating budget. We should have a fiscal note. And the mere fact that it says avionics gives me pause because I do know that DNR is looking for an airplane for firefighting, which we also have a bill for. That we are going to be in desperate need of this year. And go figure, it's about $3.5 million. So anyways, my point is we should see the fiscal note.
And Representative McCabe, we're certainly happy to talk to Ledge Legal about that. I think that, as was stated by Mr. Newman, the reason there is no fiscal note is because this legislation does not transfer the money. Mm-hmm. But we can certainly... And we will have Ledge Legal on. There's no intent to move the bill today or anything, so we've got plenty of time.
Perfect. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Representative Vance.
Do we have some history about the Capstone Avionics Revolving Loan Fund, just so we know what we're doing by depleting that fund?
Mr. Newman.
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Vance. My understanding is that was a fund that was created... I unfortunately don't have it in my packet currently, but it was created a number of years ago, and that program has already sunsetted, and so that program does not exist any longer. Those funds are not accessible for any loan. That Capstone Avionics program is not operational currently, and that it was somewhat of an oversight that funding did not return to the general funds. I've heard sort of this and that about how it ended up staying where it is. My understanding is that there was a previous effort to reallocate those funds to another program, and then that was vetoed. And somewhere in that process, that funding was forgotten about. But the Capstone Avionics Revolving Loan Fund sunsetted a number of years ago.
Further questions?
Couch questions.
I do have more questions, but I wanted to give others the opportunity.
Did someone else have a question? Representative Vance?
Thank you. And this is the mechanics of the bill. I'm just so we can talk this out on... On page 2, it talks about page 1 and 2, repaying the loan after 20 years. But then when you go further down on lines 10, it says shall have a fixed term of 15 years made back. So why is there a discrepancy about that timeline?
Through the chair, Representative Vance, So what you're looking at is line 1, the or when it talks about the state, the CFAB shall repurchase the shares after 20 years. And then on line 10, it has a fixed term of 15 years. Line 10, so that section B there, that refers to, that puts stipulations on loans that can be made by CFAB to commercial fishermen using these funds. So the 20 years is the term of, if you want to call it a loan to from the state to CFAB. The 15 years is the terms of the loan that CFAB can provide using these state funds.
I think at this time we have invited testimony, and I will go to invited testimony so we can ensure that we hear that testimony today. And we have, so with that, I guess I don't need to open that up. We have the president of the Alaska Commercial Fishing and Agricultural Bank with us, Sharon Lechner. And Ms. Lechner, if you would state your name and affiliation and begin your testimony, please.
My name is Sharon Lechner. I'm a resident of Anchorage, Alaska, and I am here speaking on behalf of Alaska Commercial Fishing and Agriculture Bank.
Begin your testimony, please.
Thank you. So my name is Sharon Lechner, and I am the president of Alaska Commercial Fishing and Agriculture Bank, more commonly known as CFAB, and I am testifying in favor of House Bill 199. As Kyle mentioned, CFAB was formed by the state of Alaska in the late 1970s. Its governing statute, AS 4481, limits its lending activities in support of traditionally underserved industries such as commercial fishing and timber. AS 4481 also deems CFAB to have been formed for a, quote, public purpose. Unlike government lenders such as ADA, CFAB pays federal taxes and cannot issue tax-exempt bonds. Our borrowers must be Alaskan residents. Right now, about 90% of our loans are commercial fishing loans, so we are heavily invested in support of that very important industry. Unlike traditional lenders, our cooperative structure and public purpose means that we work with our borrowers rather than foreclose when times get tough. In the last 20-plus years, we have not foreclosed on a single borrower. Our public purpose mission is evident by our response to the recent market downturn. Now, many fishermen can no longer have access to working capital loans from their processors. In response, CFAB introduced a new seasonal bullet loan program that offers access to working capital to help our member borrowers avoid high interest rate credit card borrowing. House Bill 199 was developed in response to low interest loans being offered by a State of Alaska revolving loan fund. We very much support this important lifeline low interest rate program, but it has had unintended consequences for CFAB. Our existing loans are moving over to the state. Our collateral is being eroded in some cases, and we are not receiving applications for new loans. House Bill 199 would allow CFAB to also offer the same low interest rate to our member borrowers with 15-year loans. We currently have 650 Alaska resident members and over 300 borrowers living in almost every Alaska community. Support for House Bill 199 would expand the financial lifeline of low interest rate financing to several hundred additional Alaska fishermen, their families, and their communities. I ask for your support for House Bill 199.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Ms. Lechner? Seeing none, thank you, Ms. Lechner, for testifying.
Thank you.
And with that, I will open up public testimony. Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify? I see online we have no one to testify. So I will close public testimony. Do we have any questions or comments from the committee?
Chair?
Yeah, Representative Kopp.
Again, and I no longer have a commercial fishing business. It's my son does, but I appreciate the intent behind this bill. The industry is in pretty dire straits across the state. I wish we could do more. This is a very small amount, but I think in the interest of not seeing, you know, these small businesses fail and helping them stay on their feet, I think this is a good direction for us to go, and appreciate the committee sponsoring the bill.
Thank you. Further comments? Seeing none. With that, we will set House Bill 199 aside, and our next scheduled meeting will be Tuesday, April 29th. And seeing no further business before this committee, we are adjourned at 11:40.